Oh, hey, and welcome back to the channel, everybody. Tonight, we have two freaky tales that I'm going to be sharing with you tonight. Starting off in the state of Georgia, where this park ranger encounters this beast in the woods while he's on his lunch break as he works in the visitor center. Then for our second story, we have this woman who was hiking by herself to get away from the city and all the environments that she wanted to ignore for just a moment's time, but encounters something she was never expecting to find. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Dear Campfire Tales, I used to work at the Visitor Center at the Kennesaw Mountain National Battlefield, which is in the state of Georgia. The Atlanta area, to be precise. It is just roughly under 3,000 acres of this national battlefield that preserves the National War battleground of the Atlanta Campaign, from when us and the opposing forces fought from June 19, 1864 until July 2, 1864. Enough about the history buff. Let's get into what actually happened to me. During when this had all taken place, I had been working at the Visitor Center for the past 2 years, prior to this event. Now, one thing you must know about this National Battlefield Park is that it isn't a typical national park where people go to camp and RV and things of that nature. This is strictly a day-use facility in regards to the battlefield which had taken place during the Civil War, where people come and they could speak with rangers about the events leading up to the Battle of Kennesaw and the aftermath. There's brochures here where you could take pictures and see things that are at the visitor center. They even have little tours as well, along with a renovated museum where you could see authentic uniforms, weapons, and flags. And there are trails that people can go on. On the weekends, you could either hike to the top or take our shuttle bus, which runs every 30 minutes. Now, the one thing that you must realize about this location is that the majority of the roads running through the battlefield are country roads and do not close. Which means visitors and people that are here, tourists mind you, may get lost, and they have. Luckily, most of them find their way out or call for assistance, but then there are some that don't. And those are the stories that people don't seem to hear about. They keep things on the hush-hush, if you catch my drift. Now, I was on my lunch break, and I usually like to walk on these trails during my lunch after I eat my snack. And when I mean snack, I mean I have an hour break, so I want to make the best of it. So I usually just pop a frozen burrito into the microwave at the visitor center, and then I like to take a casual hike and get some fresh air. I hate being clustered inside a building for 8 hours a day, and it's incredibly beautiful, and it's so rich with history in this location. I loved my job. While I was on my lunch break this one particular day, I was on this one particular trail that I usually hike quite often. I won't give any specific details because honestly, this frightened me to my core. About 20 minutes into my hike, I knew that I had about 15 minutes or so before I would turn back around and start heading back towards the visitor center to get back to work. Fast forward some time. I had already made my U-turn and was heading back towards the visitor center. Just minding my own business, not seeing another soul in sight. I had seen some people walking about 15 minutes prior heading down the trail, but I had been walking up at the time when I had seen these people. Then, all of a sudden, I started hearing movement in the trees. Now the trees were on both sides of me, and it was echoing throughout the trees. So I did not know which direction to actually look in. I was looking all around as it echoed all around me. Now the movement sounded like something large was running through the trees. Then I heard the snapping of twigs, branches being snapped, not only from the ground but also from above. Something large was moving amongst the area, and something large was nearby. Now it could have been a deer, but we do have bears out here as well. Yet it's not very common to see them out here during the day. But it doesn't mean that it is impossible. Now I have bear mace with me attached on my belt just in case. But I've never had to actually use it before. I am not an outdoorsy ranger. I work at the visitor center, mind you. But being outdoors on my lunch breaks quite often, and being a camper and hiker myself on my off time, I always just kept it handy. At that moment, I started walking at a faster pace, just to be on the safe side. If it was a deer, then that's fine. Deers are common out here, as there's deer and lots of other wildlife that are in this area. But when I heard the guttural growl and mumbling of something in the woods behind the darkness of the shaded trees, that's when I knew what was following me in these woods was no deer. At this point, I started walking even faster. I was walking at such a fast pace, you could almost say it was a slight jog. My heart was thumping, and I couldn't rationalize what the hell it was other than a bear. But bears are very dangerous and very territorial. You do not want to be anywhere near a bear, especially if there's cubs involved. As I continued my slight jog, I heard the snapping sounds even louder, but this time it was coming from behind me. I made the mistake and turned around as I ran down the trail. And that is when I saw this creature. What I thought must have been a bear was something full of fur, was some kind of bipedal creature that resembled a bear, but more like a dog. It was on its back hind legs, peeking out into the trail, looking directly at me, with its pointed ears and large snout of a canine beast. This thing looked like a giant Saint Bernard, but at least 6-7 feet tall. Its long arms and chest, even its legs, looked human-like, full of fur, but yet not human. This creature did not chase me, even though I started running at a full sprint as soon as I looked behind me. I was not going to stick around to do any type of investigating, and luckily I was not in a shock to where I was frozen in place. Eventually, I saw one of the shuttles leading back to the visitor center as I was continuing my run. Eventually, they slowed down, and I hopped onto the shuttle bus, and I rode with them all the way back to the visitor center, sweating, heart thumping, and terrified. The people asked if I was all right, and I didn't answer. I was at a loss for words. My mind was going all over the place. I had spoken to a couple of my colleagues about what I had seen, and they told me that what I had encountered was indeed a dogman. As I took my first steps through the entrance of the nature trail, I was confident that this was exactly the escape I needed to decompress. The moist soil sunk beneath my boots. Flowers bloomed, and leaves on the trees shook and hummed gently in the summer breeze, and birds sang. I felt like I'd walked into the Garden of Eden. Lost in thought, and devouring the beauty radiating itself through all my senses, I never heard the footsteps approaching behind me. "Hey there," a woman's chipper voice plucked me out of paradise. "Hey, happy trailing," I said politely, despite my annoyance at the disruption. "Definitely. I come here a lot when I need a break. You?" The girl lingered slightly behind, tucking her dirty blonde hair behind her ear. "First timer, but I brought reinforcements," I said, gesturing to the map in my hand. "There are better areas from when they were first building the trails. They're not as well maintained, but they're easy enough to follow." "They won't be on the map. I'm taking one up to the river. Some people say it's dirty, but I like to dip my feet in it anyways." We were walking side by side now, our boots smacking the dirt trail in rhythm. I looked at her closely for the first time. We looked close enough to the same age, maybe her being a year or two younger. We were sporting identical hiking boots. In another life, we may have been best friends. As if sensing my thoughts, the girl looked towards me and smiled. "I'm Claudia, by the way. Care for a walking buddy?" "The forest is beautiful, but sometimes it feels lonely. I could show you the river." I hesitated and nearly declined. I had come out here to escape, not to be social. But she seemed nice, and a river view sounded amazing. I'm Avery, and I'm in. Lead the way. After a few minutes, Claudia gestured to a thin trail barely visible through the overgrown vegetation. I stood at the small opening, thinking about the critters living there, wondering if they bit, so much for easy to follow. As the trail winded a few yards in, my worries fell. It was beautiful. The sun glistened as it danced through the leaves. Claudia put her arm out for mine to stop and point it. In the distance, a fawn lingered near its mother. In this moment, I was so glad I had met her. As we trekked on, the foliage became more dense and only small streams of light flickered through. A light, unpleasant odor wafted in the breeze. It seemed familiar, but I couldn't quite place it. Mold growing on stagnant water was my best guess. A gentle mist twisted in the rays of light between the leaves. As I followed Claudia in silence, I wondered just how well she knew the trails. She didn't hesitate, but the mist was flirting with fog by the minute. Claudia kept moving forward, as if pulled by an invisible string. Out of the corner of my eye, something moved on the edges of the fog to my left. My heart picking up speed, I closed the gap that had gradually formed between us. "I think there's something out there," I whispered. Claudia didn't slow down, but she turned back towards me and giggled. "Of course there's something out there. There's a lot of things. We're in the forest." Claudia must have seen the fear on my face, and as an afterthought asked, "Was it big?" "I'm not sure," I admitted nervously. "I only saw it for a second. It disappeared behind a tree. It was pretty far out, but I think it's moving in the same direction we are." Claudia kept her pace, but she agreed she'd keep an eye out. For the last 20 minutes, she had kept her eyes firmly on the trail, so somehow I doubted that. I looked up over her shoulder and finally realized what she had been so fixated on. There was something large up ahead peeking out through the fog. A cabin? "Oh man, this is amazing!" Claudia exclaimed. "My dad told me about these during touristic season. The park rangers live out here." I watched the fog drop into the hole of the roof of the cabin. "It doesn't look like anybody's lived here in a long time," I remarked. I'd only known Claudia from the trail, and yet I knew she was going to suggest that we go in and explore. She was the adventure to my play it safe. On second thought, maybe we wouldn't have been friends in another life. Claudia started to speak, but I couldn't hear her over the throbbing of my heartbeat in my ears. Closer than before, the thing from earlier stood still ahead of the cabin. It was watching us. The fog obscured my vision, but I could see it was wearing something dark that fluttered in the wind. "Let's go inside," I interrupted her. Her eyes opened wide as I stormed past her. The door groaned in protest as I threw it open and flew inside. "That thing from earlier followed us here, Claudia. It was watching us. We need to figure out a way to get out of here. It's ahead of the cabin. I think we could go back the way we came. Can you see the trail well enough to run?" Claudia stood staring at me, cheeks flushing. "I've never been to this cabin before. I lost the trail a little ways back. I figured we could just regroup here and make a plan. Are you sure there's something out there?" For a moment, I was dumbstruck. She had lost the trail? We were screwed. Finally, I choked out. "I'm positive. It was some freak in the dark flowing down or something." "How did you lose the trail? I thought you said you came here all the time," I hissed. Fear slithered its way into my stomach and tickled my throat. I swallowed hard. "I mean, yeah, but not in the fog. I was hoping that we would beat it and be able to watch it float across the river. It's gorgeous. Like the mists of Avalon." Claudia looked uncomfortable. I know she didn't lead us off trail intentionally, but it didn't feel that way. Especially with some freak following us, slowly moving closer. "Let's look around and see if there's anything here we could use to defend ourselves. Then we need to try to get out of here." I could hear the frustration in my tone. I never should have followed a stranger into the forest. How could I be so stupid? I headed left towards the kitchen as Claudia made her way towards the back rooms. I opened several drawers and cabinets to find nothing but spiders and dust. Defeated, I headed to meet up with Claudia, hoping that she had had more luck. As I entered, the first thing to hit me was a putrid smell. Claudia was bent over the bed in the corner of the room, softly crying. On top of a bare, stained mattress was a severely decomposing body. Dirty blonde hair clumped around the partially exposed skull. As the body had turned to liquid, the red and white plaid shirt had turned a nasty brownish along the chest. It would have been completely unidentifiable if it not for the clothing. Claudia was staring down at her own red and white plaid shirt, pulling on it, willing it not to be true. Both Claudia and the body on the bed both adorned the same denim shorts, a small rip along the right hem. The arms of the body hung limply, cuffed to the bed. Both feet were bound. I slowly stepped back as Claudia whispered over and over, "Oh no, oh no, oh no." It became a mantra. As I reached for her, Claudia finally looked up. I yelped and jerked my hand back. Claudia's face now mirrored the body on the bed. The dirty blonde hair she had pushed behind her ear earlier now dirty, clumped, and missing in patches. Her eyes long since disintegrated, leaked a gelatinous substance from the empty sockets. The few patches of skin left on her face hung like dry snakeskin. "I'm sorry, Avery. I just can't handle this," she gargled with her stumped tongue and a mouth with no lips left to help enunciate. She ran out of the cabin door and back into the forest. Shock paralyzed me, and insanity threatened to leave me in the fetal position in the corner, waiting for someone to rescue me. But deep down I knew no one would come. That's why Claudia's body was still lying here, left to rot. I couldn't stay here, but leaving meant facing the follower, the thing lingering in the woods. It was possible that the person who had killed Claudia and the follower were one and the same, but somehow I didn't think so. I did the only thing I could do. I peeked my head out of the front door to make sure no one was waiting for me outside, and I headed back out into the forest. I had two options: continue on in the direction Claudia had been leading me, or attempt to find the thin trail in the fog Claudia had somehow managed to lose and head back to the main trail. Upon inspecting, the trail seemed easier to follow heading in the direction we had originally been moving, so onward it was. The further on I went, the denser the fog. The foul smell from earlier slid down my nostrils and made my lungs ache. Through the corner of my eyes, the follower inched closer. I kept my eyes forward to keep my sanity. I stopped briefly to catch my breath. I had been nearly running for close to 10 minutes. I was terrified to stop, but the buildup lactic acid in my muscles begged to differ. As my breath quieted, I heard running water. The river. Just like Claudia had said. I had to be close to the original trails. I pulled out my map to try to take a guess at where I could possibly be and how to get the hell out of here. While I couldn't be sure of my exact location, I could see where the main trail met up with the river. I could be anywhere from a few feet to a few miles. The fog was so dense, I couldn't see more than 2 feet from my nose. My hope was by the time that I was near the trail, I'd be able to see it. I inched forward slowly, carefully. Up ahead, something dark moved from higher up in a tree and floated down in the breeze. It fluttered like a downed large bird. But as it neared, I realized in horror what was coming. I tried to scurry back, tripping over a rock on the trail. My tailbone screamed painfully as it hit the hard ground below. I scooted frantically away but made no real progress. The follower continued its descent. It hovered just above the ground, and although its face was shrouded in the same black fabric, I could see its eyes bore through me. My body shook as it looked down at me, waiting. Slowly, it extended its arm towards me. The sleeve pushed back to reveal what I believed to be a woman's hand. The nails were long, and the skin carried the grayish hue of rot. As the hand uncurled itself, I struggled to tear my eyes from the golden sigils that started just under the fingernail and continued up past the sleeve. It took me a moment to realize it was offering to help me up. I started to extend my own hand before hearing Claudia whisper,
"She'll help you up, but she'll take you. We could stay in the Force together. We could be friends."
Any part of me that questioned my sanity was squashed by Claudia's hot breath leaving condensation against my neck.
"I've been so lonely out here, Avery. I've been so lonely for so long."
Suddenly, I recognized the smell carried by the fog. Once when I was young, a mouse died behind one of the walls in the kitchen. In the summer, the smell became unbearable. My mother begged my father to cut the wall open to pull the mouse from its poorly sealed coffin. But my father refused. We ate dinner outside to avoid killing our appetites. Eventually, the smell faded when things were turning to normal. But I'd never completely forgotten the smell. The fog in my childhood home both smelled of death. The follower was still waiting with her hand extended for my response. I crawled backwards slowly. The follower remained still. I sprang to my feet and ran back the way I had come. I tripped twice, skinning my knee, but I didn't stop. After a few minutes, I ventured a look behind me. The follower wasn't there. I slowed to a walk, desperately looking for the trail. The fog was slowly pulling back. After nearly 10 minutes of panic, I found the small trail Claudia and I had started on. To both my relief and dismay, I didn't pass the cabin again. Just as panic threatened to take a hold of the fog cleared enough to reveal the main road just up ahead, I broke out into a sprint. As soon as I hit the trail entrance, I called the police. I knew if I told them the whole story about Claudia, they'd never believe me, but there was plenty I could tell. A park ranger who introduced himself as Park Ranger Thomas arrived first. I told him that I had begun on the main trail, but noticed a small side trail and decided to take it. He frowned at this but continued to listen. I told him about how at some point I had lost the trail but continued on. I told him about the rundown cabin and the body chained to the bed. He stopped me there.
"You're telling me in these woods there's a cabin with the girl's body chained up and you didn't call the police then?"
"I left my phone in the car. I came out here for a break from the real world, not to bring it with me."
"Well, ma'am, we haven't had a hiker go missing here in the past 3 years. And we've been all through here searching. I've never come across a rundown cabin," he responded flatly.
"She had dirty blonde hair."
I had started to cry. For everything that had happened, and the loss of someone who could have been a friend. She was wearing a white undershirt and red and white plaid flannel. We had matching boots. My voice trailed off. My throat burned with the effort of containing sobs. The park ranger tensed.
"If this is some kind of joke, you need to leave right now."
Anger wavered his voice.
"Why would I joke about this? What's wrong with you? She needs help."
I felt insane. How could he understand? None of this made sense.
"My daughter went missing in these woods 3 years ago. She was last seen in a white undershirt, red and white plaid flannel, and brown hiking boots." His voice cracked. "You said she's in a cabin?"
"She..."
I stopped myself quickly, realizing my mistake. I heard park rangers stay in them during touristic season, but no one had lived there for a long time. There's no way. I tried my best to lead Park Ranger Thompson back to the side trail, back to his daughter. But without Claudia leading me, I couldn't find the trail. I swore it was there, and the hope for closure that flashed behind his eyes let me know he believed me.
I'll pull the map for the original trails. One of them must have the cabin on it. If you want to leave your number, I'll call you if I find it. On the drive home, I had too much time to think. I didn't think Claudia knew she was dead when she first walked up beside me. I didn't think she knew she was leading me to her body either. I think she herself was pulled by whatever it is that allowed our souls to call a body a home. And I don't think the follower was a monster anymore. I think she was death, offering me an easier way out. I wonder if Ranger Thompson will call me after he finds Claudia, or if the follower will be waiting for him in the cabin, offering him an easier way. I wonder if Claudia will whisper in his ear about how lonely she's been. I wonder if her hot breath against the back of his neck will convince him to stay. Regardless, I'm staying off the trails.